You know, y'all can bring your own bottle. We should advertise that. What do they say? Is that BYOB? Some of y'all know them initials. You ought to be ashamed that you even know those initials. Somebody might bring the wrong bottle, I'm afraid. Oh, my goodness. You know, y'all know more than you ought to know about that stuff. I expect Brother Alvin to understand all that stuff, but nobody else. Which, by the way, Wes, if you could do me a favor. One day at the house when Chrissy's laughing, would you record that, please? That, I turned my head and I heard that laugh a while ago, and I thought, I've heard that before, a horror movie somewhere. I'm not real sure where it was. Oh, yeah, right. Well, I want to get it. I want to put it on the church computer back there. So when I tell a funny joke, PJ can just hit a button and that laugh comes out. If y'all don't laugh at my joke, you'll laugh at her laughter. But anyway, don't laugh again now. You promise you would never laugh again. All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. That'll take y'all 30 minutes to find it. About 2 weeks ago, it is in the Old Testament, though, I'll let you know that. Obadiah. Now, we began a couple of weeks ago. I just interjected some message on growing last week on Sunday night, but I want to cover some of these minor prophets. Remember, there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 66 in the whole Bible, of course, 27 in the New, 39 in the Old. And of those 39, there are major prophets 5, there are minor prophets 12. And they begin with Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. We've covered Amos, and tonight, Lord willing, we look at the book of Obadiah. Now, all these are books of the Bible. Remember that God did not give us the Bible by word. It is inspired word for word, but He didn't just give us one word and leave us for 30 days and then give another word. He didn't just give a verse. He didn't just give chapters. He gave us a book at a time. And so when Obadiah writes his prophecy as one of the minor prophets, why is he called a minor prophet? Because his book is a short book. Major prophets are longer books, a major message. Hence, they have and by the way, the minor prophets have major messages. They're just short, so we call them minor prophets. Now, Obadiah has a unique place in the Old Testament in that it is the shortest book of the Old Testament. One chapter, 21 verses, 669 words that are found in this shortest book of the Old Testament. But my goodness, his message, though one book long, one chapter long rather, it is powerful and relevant even for today. I begin reading in verse 1 of Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We'll come back to who that is. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. This is speaking of Edom, whoever Edom is. Verse 3 is the key verse. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? That is the key verse. And it's one of the great messages of not only the book of Obadiah, but many places in the Bible, of how pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. The nation of Edom is who we'll be talking about in a moment. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you for your word now. Bless us as we study it. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher and our guide. Draw us closer to you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Obadiah's name means worshiper or servant of the Lord or of Jehovah God. And in this particular way, he stands out in a unique way in the book, in the whole Bible itself. Now, who is Edom? Because his prophecy is to Edom. You may recall, this phrase is found multiple times in the Bible. The Bible says this, beginning even in Genesis, Esau is Edom. Esau is Edom. And though you may not know who Edom is, you do know who Esau is. Esau is the brother of Jacob. Remember the twins? You remember how their birth was unique? You remember how when they grew up to be boys, how one cheated the other one out of the birthright? And then Esau, who is Edom, Esau swore in his anger he was going to get Jacob back for what he'd done to him, and he was going to make him pay for it. And there was strife between the people of Esau and the people of Jacob. Well, who are the people of Jacob? Well, remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons are the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. In other words, Jacob, whose name was changed in Genesis 32, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. So the 12 tribes of Jacob are the 12 tribes of Israel. That is the nation of Israel itself, all 12 tribes. Esau had his people, his descendants. So Jacob's people are the children of Israel, and Esau's people are the children of Edom. One fellow said there's a good way to remember the book of Obadiah this way. In one word, Edom. In three words, Obad. Remember the word Obadiah? Obad Edom. Because Edom is a bad and wicked nation, and their pride is going to bring them down. Can we stretch that to 2020 and say this? Our pride will bring us down. That happens in an individual's life. That could be true of a family. It could be true of a church. It could be true of a nation. And in this case, it's a nation. And the pride prevalent in Edom was the same pride that was birthed in Esau, and it continued. Now, there's a New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn there quickly? Hebrews chapter number 12. And let's read, does the Bible say anything about Esau? And since Esau is Edom, and there should be something in the New Testament about Esau. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 15. We'll read there down through verse number 17. When you get there, say amen. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And before I read any further, understand this. The birthright to Abraham's seed and descendants was an important spiritual element in their life. Abraham's birthright was this: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the tribes, and that's from whom the Messiah, the Christ of God, would come. And when Esau despised his birthright, it's like saying this: I don't care who my daddy is, I don't care who my granddaddy is, I don't care who anybody is in my family that's spiritual, I don't care about none of that spiritual junk, y'all can all have it, all I care about is my flesh. Profane, fornicator, and bitter man. Believe me, those are relevant issues in 2020. Profane. Have you ever heard the word profanity? Do we not live in a profane day when people mock? And it's worse to say the N-word than it is to call God's name in vain in anywhere in public. You watch out on the workplace. You can't say certain words, but you can tell God to D-A-M-N something anytime you want to. I have never understood how it's all right to say one thing so negative and sacrilegious against Almighty God, but you can't say cracker about somebody else. It's ridiculous the day we live in. But nevertheless, profane, he is a fornicator. I didn't say that about him. The Lord said that about him. He was a fornicator. Now, this is Esau. Back up to verse 15, there's a root of bitterness in him. Well, we know why he's bitter. He despised his birthright. And then he blames Jacob for getting cheated out of it. He had put no value on spiritual things, cared for none of the things of God, and he's full of pride. And Esau is Edom. Let's read a little bit further here in this passage, because I think it's extremely interesting what we see in the very next verse. It says this: For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing. Now there's two things mentioned there. In verse 16, it said birthright, and then the next verse it said blessing. They're not the same. The birthright is he got to be part of Abraham's family, and therefore part of the family line of the Messiah. But the blessing, remember that God promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you many nations. And then he passed the blessing down to Isaac, and then Isaac did this. Isaac was to bless with each of his hands the right-hand blessing was a greater blessing than the left-hand blessing. Are you with me? And you remember how Jacob came in disguised as Esau, and he got the blessing, if you would, of the right hand. And Esau came in later, and he wanted the blessing. He did get a blessing, but it was a lesser one. It was not the spiritual blessing. And so after, when he would have inherited the blessing, the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He was not crying. You read the life of Esau in the Old Testament. He's not brokenhearted because he couldn't get right with God. He's brokenhearted because he missed the chance to get the blessing. Not the spiritual aspect of it, but all of the material goods that went with it. Well, how can you make that assessment of a man you've never met? Because I read my Bible, and I found out he's got the root of bitterness in him. He's profane. He's a fornicator. And he sought repentance in the sense that he wanted to change his mind. I don't want to despise the birthright. I don't want to throw away the blessing. But it was too late to go back. And that's Esau. And Esau is Edom. Go back with me to the book of Obadiah quickly here, and we'll cover as much ground as we can. Obadiah is also known in a particular way as the prophet. Now, you know him as Obadiah the prophet, but many people call him the prophet of poetic justice. What is poetic justice? Well, it's interesting that you would ask that question, being none of you have asked it. But I'm going to cover that question for you. The poetic justice is this. Any of you ever remember reading about with Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet? Any of you ever heard of that? Where the Montagues, and they're having their spat back and forth, and then these two families who can't rectify things between them do eventually settle the issue between the two families. But it's only after Romeo and Juliet are dead. That's poetic justice. You remember the story about Cinderella? All you kids know Cinderella? Huh? Cinderella? And there's one version of Cinderella where after Cinderella gets married to Prince Charming, is that her stepmother and her two wicked sisters have to come work in the palace as her servants, and they had mistreated her. That's poetic justice. Any of you ever remember in reading in literature, or you were expected to read, by Edgar Allan Poe, The Tell-Tale Heart? Where a man murders another guy and buries him under the floor of his house. But the guilt is so bad, all he can do is hear that man's heart beating and thumping and beating and beating until when the authorities come to investigate, he just knows that they're hearing that beating of that heart. And then he finally confesses. Poetic justice, the murder, caught up with him. But let's go to the Bible. You know poetic justice. You just don't think about it. How about Pharaoh? You know what Pharaoh did in the beginning, in the first books, first chapters of Exodus? He said, take all the male babies and drown them. What happens to Pharaoh at the end of the book when he tries to cross the Red Sea? The Lord pours water down and Pharaoh drowned. Poetic justice. Daniel's enemy said, all right, here's what we're going to do. You pray to your God in this time period. We said, nobody can pray. We're going to throw you in the den of lions. They did. And God preserved him and brought him out. And then what happened to his enemies? They got thrown into the den of lions, and the lions ate them up. Poetic justice. And you know one, probably the greatest example in the Bible. There was a wicked man in the book of Esther named Haman who hated a man named Mordecai so bad, he built a gallows on which he would hang Mordecai in public. And Haman got caught up with because of his sin and his desire to destroy the Jewish people. And Haman himself ended up being hung on the very gallows he planned to hang Mordecai on. Poetic justice. Obadiah is the prophet of poetic justice because what Edom, Esau is Edom, this wicked, profane, bitter, and proud nation of people, just like their ancestor, rejoiced and reveled and found great thrill in watching Babylon come in and destroy Jerusalem. Obadiah is a prophet who was one of the minor prophets right before the Babylonians conquered Judah and Jerusalem and hauled them off into captivity for 70 years. And you know what? When the Babylonians came in, here's what the Edomites did. They backed up and they went to their city in the clefts of the rock. Now we know cleft of the rock from Rock of Ages. This is different. The cleft of the rock where the Edomites lived is a place that we know in modern day times as Petra. If you look up Petrin, look at it. It's in red sandstone located over out from Israel. Many believe that during the Great Tribulation, this is where many of the Jewish people, probably the 144,000, may try and hide from the Antichrist, and God will protect them in this place. Edom lived. They built these clefts in the rock, these hold-out areas where they could live. And that place still exists to this day. It's almost an impregnable fortress. And they thought this, we're fine, but here's what, when the Babylonians come and they begin to level the city and they kill everybody and they haul off the women and children and they molest and kill everybody that they possibly can, Edom stood back. Look in your Bible now, look in your Bible. Notice this phrase in verse number 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Remember, Esau and Jacob are brothers. Shame shall cover thee and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side. In the day the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. Here's what happened. Here's the Jewish people over there. They're being attacked. They're being slaughtered. They're being molested and they're going to be hauled off into slavery. And here is Edom. Esau is Edom. The brother, the kinfolk of the Jewish people. And instead of helping them, they stood on the other side. And while standing on the other side, they watched it and said, good for you. Remember that day? Jacob, people of Jacob, do you remember when your ancestor cheated our ancestor out of his birthright and his blessing? You remember that day? Coming down on you now. You're going to get it. We're in the rocks, in the clefts of the rock. We're in a safe place. Nothing can touch us. We're in our fortress. The pride of their heart is going to bring them down. And they rejoiced over the fall of somebody else. Hear me now. That's very relevant for today. You got some enemy, somebody you don't like. It might be a coworker. It could be a family member, God forbid. It could be somebody you know down the road. And you got such an attitude of bitterness at them that you want to see them hurt. You want to see them fall. If God would rain fire down from heaven, you know exactly where you want it to fall. You have such an anger inside. It's eating you. Your bitterness is eating you up. But you're so upset, angry at somebody else. You would not go to their rescue if they were in a hard spot. You'd stand on the other side and say, good for you, buddy boy. And that pride of your own heart is going to end up being your destruction, not theirs. You want them to fall. I'm convinced of this. There's folks over the years, in these 30 plus years, there's some folks over the years that probably haven't got along with me. I don't know why anybody can't get along with me. I just don't understand it. I look at myself in the mirror, I don't understand it at all. But for some reason, some people can't get along with me. And there are some people that can't even get along with some of y'all. See, everybody points to the preacher. If somebody ever leaves the church, well, Brother Sellers, they can't get along with him. Do you know some people can't get along with y'all? Every now and then, I would never call out to you, but every now and then somebody comes say something to me and they say, oh, I can't stand so-and-so. And they end up leaving the church. They would blame y'all. It ain't just me. They blame other people. Here's what I found out. If people want somebody to blame, they'll find it. Don't matter who it is. But the problem doesn't lie with the person they blame. The problem lies with them. Because the bitterness is in their own heart. But I'm convinced of this. Some people have left. And think this, where do we leave? Once we out of the way, everything's going to fall. I hope it comes crashing down on his head. There are people that nasty out there. And some of them call themselves Christian. And I'm convinced God's blessed us in spite of me and in spite of you. God's blessed us just to teach them a lesson. Y'all go ahead and wish bad things. I'm going to bless them anyway. I kind of like that, don't you? That is poetic justice. They're going to stand over here. And they do. They stand over here and say, look, we're glad for all the calamity, everything that went wrong in your life. I'm glad your whole life and world fell apart. I'm glad that happened to you. You deserve it. Listen, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be going through what Jerusalem went through. Thank God we don't get what we deserve. We get God's mercy and grace. But here's what happened. It wasn't long after they went into captivity that God brought judgment, and that's what the book of Obadiah is about. God brought judgment on Edom. And do you know what? In 2020, you don't know any Edomites. They don't exist anymore. And what they thought was a safety in that big fortress of Petra was not. They were destroyed. The Edomites, now you can say maybe some of the Arabs might be kin to them in some way. But do you ever hear anybody refer to the Hittites or the Perizzites? Nobody on the news ever talks about these people. These are all people who decided, I hope Israel gets her just desserts. And when Israel did, they didn't realize this. God's wheels grind exceeding small, and eventually judgment comes upon every one of us. And what happened, now God may do his judgment slowly, but he does it righteously. And yes, Israel deserved to be punished, but so did they. And eventually it came upon them, and they were obliterated and wiped off the face of the earth. And so having said that, consider with me this. Do you see that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall in the case of the Edomites? Can you see that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Surely you can see this. And these people of Edom, marked by the same characteristics of their father Esau, proud, profane, fierce, and cruel, and they turned their back on their brother. If there's anybody we'll try and help, it'll be our brother, our sister in Christ. Surely that's good. And you can probably see that in Esau is a great example of somebody who claims to be connected with the family of God, but is truly a natural, carnal, fleshly person. His interests are not spiritual. His interests are not godly. His interests are not holy. He has no concern for God's word, for God's son, for God's spirit. The idea of anything of a righteous nature is out of the question. That's what Obadiah is about. Look down at verse 15 of this chapter. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Poetic. Justice. What y'all have done to other people is going to come down upon you. That's the New Testament principle of Galatians 6. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's important to see that. Would you look a little further in the book? We'll wrap things up here. In verse number 21, it says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The word savior, saviors, is plural. That means there would be many people that God would raise up to help the people of Israel. But it is a hint at the one great savior who would come later on, who would establish his kingdom. And the last phrase, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We don't see that. It does happen, but we don't see it till the book of Revelation in chapter 19. When Jesus comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If there is a great lesson to learn from Obadiah, I would repeat it again for the sake of emphasis, and that is this. Verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? There are too many people in the Bible for me to go over right now. But surely you would remember Cain's pride brought him down. I think you would agree with me that surely a man like even David, his pride brought him down. King Saul, his pride brought him down. Nebuchadnezzar stood on his balcony and looked over all the kingdom where he ruled the world and said, look here what I have done. And God brought him down till it was like a beast of the field with his nails growing long like eagle's claws. His hair grew all long. He just was spittle all over. He went mad and insane until he recognized the God of heaven, and then the Lord raised him back up. Do you reckon that when you get to the New Testament, a man like Peter was brought down because of pride? You see, it's not just wicked heathen kings of the Old Testament, but it's believers, true Christians, and Peter was one who got because of the pride of his heart, Lord, even if it means death, I will not deny you. Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, hours away, you're going to be denied me thrice, three times. And it happened just like the Lord said. We heard a great message the other day, Brother Warren DeVivo at our preacher's fellowship this week, which is here at our church, which by the way, I want to thank Eric for cooking for us. He done a jam up job on them wings. I believe God's appointed him as the wing cooker here at our church. I think it's a calling. I said this more about serving God. That's a good way to serve the Lord. But Brother Warren DeVivo brought a message from the Gospel of Luke where the Bible said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And he changed it and said, Warren, Warren, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And what happened with Peter is the devil used the pride of Peter's heart to bring him down. And Brother Warren was saying that. He said, that's what the devil wants to do, is use the pride of my heart to bring me down. Because I stand in pride, nothing going to happen to me. I want it to happen to them. They deserve it. Be careful that the pride of your own heart doesn't bring you down. If it brought down those men, it could bring us down too. Do not rejoice in the calamity of others. Remember this. As you read this book, we don't have time to go into a lot of it, but God's judgment and God's or justice and God's mercy both have to be there. So God has to bring justice upon His people. They sinned. But then He has the privilege, and thank God He does, He turns around and shows mercy on the very people He showed justice to. What if God gave us justice? Or what if He gave us, He gave us mercy. But do you realize this? He can't just set His justice aside and act like it doesn't matter. Any of y'all with children, think about this. Have you ever had this problem with your kids? Even if you're teaching, you have this problem with kids. Certainly your own children. You're worried about disciplining them too much. I was too hard. Then on the other hand, I got to do something. I can't just let them off like nothing happened. But you want to. You just like to act like it didn't happen. You want to show mercy, but you know you got to show justice. You have to discipline, but then you want to forgive. And no matter how hard you try, you'll never do perfect justice and you'll never do perfect mercy. You'll work all your life with your children to try and make sure you discipline, but not too hard. You show mercy, but not too easy. But God, listen to this and I'm done. God is perfect in justice and perfect in mercy. The justice that you and I deserved, God justly, fairly, righteously, and totally let it rain down. No, Brother Sellers, not, He didn't. I didn't get His justice. No, but Jesus did. Everything you've ever done, Jesus was judged for it. Everything you should have suffered for, He suffered for. All of the justice that you should have got, He got. And so God was just in that He punished Jesus for our sins. And merciful in that though He didn't show Him mercy, He did show it to us. It's a perfect balance of the two. And Obadiah reveals that lesson to us as well. Be careful that the pride of thine heart does not ruin you. Let's pray.